Hi, folks. Doug McBurney here. Keeping Bob Enyart live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then. And now is that time, and he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Bob's presence on the mighty 50,000-watt KLT in Denver gives him the ability to promote godly ideas on the terrestrial airwaves. I'm asking you to call right now or go online to purchase any or all of Bob's eye-opening Christian resources available in written, audio, or video formats. Call 1-800-8-ENYART right now or go to kgov.com and come alongside Bob's vital ministry and keep Bob broadcasting for another year. That's 1-800-8-ENYART or go to kgov.com, kgov.com right now to give Bob the essential support that only you can offer.
Warning is truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is Theology Thursday. Typically, we look at the news of the day from a Christian worldview. Today, we look at the source of the Christian worldview, God's Word. I have a sermon that already I'm not going to be able to fit, but when that clock hits 12, we're going to end because we have something important to do this afternoon ministry-wise. But before I start the sermon, to head out to the movies as a fellowship, as a group, on Sunday morning. Unheard of, really. And how do we know that it's okay to do that? For one thing, the Bible talks a lot about ceremonies and rituals and Sabbaths and schedules. Well, part of that, part of understanding that that is acceptable to do in the body of Christ is understanding the Bible rightly divided. Understanding what are God's rules for us today. So that's the topic of the sermon, a follow-on, a sequel to last week's sermon. But first, about this movie, Expelled. There's obvious reasons why we're so excited about it. Because it's a major shot across the bow against the atheistic, godless worldview of evolution and that we are mere animals. And there's a connection between the teaching that human beings are advanced animals and then the outcome that human beings behave like animals. So there's a trend among young people who kill their fellow students in school. They tend to say that they're helping natural selection. They're destroying the weaker organisms. There's a connection between telling people that they are advanced animals and then those people behaving like animals. There's a connection. How do we know that it's okay for our church to not have a complete service like we normally would and go to the theaters? The Bible speaks at length about schedules and feasts and Sabbaths and rituals and ceremonies. And is it possible that in some way we would disobey one of those particulars by taking our church, our fellowship, on the road? And of course, the elders of Denver Bible Church discussed this, prayed about it, thought about it, talked with many others before we decided to do this. The elders take the spiritual guidance of this church very seriously. And so we decided this would honor God and be a great thing to do. But how could we process all these hundreds of Bible verses and all these regulations, and is this okay? Well, it turns out that if you have an overview of the Bible, you can answer that question relatively easily because much of what is in Scripture, God gave to Israel. Much of it, including the Mosaic Law. Now, the Mosaic Law says there's one God. We are not under the law. Does that mean there are two gods? No, of course not. Fundamental principles through every dispensation, in every covenant, remain the same. There is one God. If you honor Him, you will be blessed. If you dishonor Him, you will be cursed.
There's no magic to it. It's just reality. But there are many particulars that change as God has given different dispensations throughout His Word. And it turns out that a lot of the confusion is set aside. The confusion is set aside, and the truth is understood when we see that God's Word divides between the covenant of law, the covenant of circumcision and the law, and the covenant of grace for the body of Christ. And I'm going to try to establish before you now with a quick Bible study that when Jesus came, He came to Israel, specifically to the nation of Israel, not to the body of Christ, not to the Gentiles. When He died for you and you and you and me. He died for all of us and was raised from the dead so whoever believes in Him could have everlasting life. But did He come to the Romans? Did He come to the Greeks? Did He come to the Egyptians or the Sumerians? Or did He come to Israel? It turns out Jesus came and He was sent only to Israel. And so when we understand that and that He was teaching that they must obey the Mosaic law, and then we get to the Pauline epistles in the New Testament, and Paul says that God gave the law to Israel, but we are under grace. And so that doesn't mean there's no such thing as sin. That doesn't mean there are no consequences for sin. But that does mean that we are not to abide by the dietary law and the Sabbath and the feast and circumcision and 1,000 other particulars that were given to Israel. So as we look at some scriptures, let's start in Matthew 15, 24. As we look at some scriptures, see if you could determine whether or not this is true, that Jesus was sent to Israel and not to the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 15, the first book in the New Testament, the first of the four Gospels. Matthew 15, verse 24, Jesus says something fascinating. Jesus said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus said, "I was only sent to Israel." Now, why would that come up? Well, because a Gentile woman was asking Jesus to heal her daughter, and He was saying no. He was resisting her. Now, let's back up to verse 22. A woman of Canaan, that's a Canaanite. Remember the Canaanites? They were Gentiles. A Canaanite cried out to Him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." So what a humble thing for a Gentile to come to Jesus and ask not something selfish, but for her daughter. And not for money or a handsome husband for her daughter, but for something spiritual, to be delivered from demon possession. And notice Jesus' reply. He ignored her, but He answered her not a word. Wow, that's pretty devastating. Your daughter's demon possessed. You come to the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, who has healed the masses, and you ask this, obviously a godly request, and Jesus just blows you off, just ignores you. Why would He do that? He didn't hear her? No, He heard her. But she was a Gentile, so He was ignoring her. But He answered her not a word, and His disciples came and urged Him, saying, "Lord, don't ignore her. She has a great need." No, they didn't say that. They said, "Jesus, she's embarrassing us. Can you get rid of her?" Because she was a Gentile, and they were Jews. And the Jews did not intermarry with the Gentiles. They didn't eat with the Gentiles according to the Mosaic law. But Jesus answered and said to them, and He rebuked the disciples, right, for being so mean? No, He didn't. He agreed with them. He said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped Him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now, of course, He has to help her. I mean, no matter who you're sent to, you can't pass that up. What an opportunity. But Jesus answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Little dogs, it's a Greek word. It's like a cigar and cigarette. You know, cigarette is a little cigar. Kitchen, kitchenette. So this is dogs. It's not good to take the children's bread, that is the children of Israel, and throw it to the little dogs. She was a woman, so Jesus naturally in the Greek used a diminutive to a Gentile. I'm not going to take the bread, the ministry for the house of Israel, the children of Israel, and give it to a Gentile. It's pretty intense. In Matthew 7:6, Jesus said, do not cast your pearls before swine. Did he mean pigs? Did he mean don't take your jewelry and throw it to pigs? No, he didn't mean that. He meant those who eat pork. Those who eat pork, Gentiles. Do not cast your pearls before swine, nor give what is holy to the dogs. The Gentile dogs, that expression, I'm not sure exactly when it originated, but in Psalm 22, David says Jesus, well, the Messiah, would be crucified, hands and feet pierced, and he would be surrounded by dogs. Not woof, woof, barking dogs, but Gentiles. And true to prophecy, Gentiles crucified Jesus Christ. So Jesus was saying it's not good to take the children of Israel's bread and give it to Gentiles. And this woman, with the greatest faith shown in Scripture, says, true, Lord. Now, a lot of Bible students, they can't take that step. They don't say it's true. They disagree. They say, no, Jesus wasn't sent only to the Jews. But Jesus said he was. Say, oh, no, that doesn't. I can't accept that. She did. She accepted it. She said, true, Lord, yet even the little dogs, even the dogs, eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, I've been studying God's word for 35 years and long enough to know that if a Bible teacher doesn't rightly divide, if he doesn't know the difference between Israel and the body, law and grace, he doesn't know what to do with this passage. It bewilders him. So they only focus on that Jesus healed her. Said, see, Jesus healed the daughter. That's it. Well, how about all the teaching in the story? Why is the story in the Bible? Jesus healed thousands. Do we have all their stories in the Bible? No. That's the point of an author, a historian like Matthew here is being inspired by the Holy Spirit, that this story was pulled from thousands and included because of the teaching in the story, that Jesus was only sent to Israel. So when he is teaching Israel, you must obey the Mosaic law, keep the law. That was a teaching to Israel. And so when the Apostle Paul comes along and he says, we are no longer under law, but we are under grace, and we should not sin because we are under grace, God forbid, but we are not under the law, we're under grace. And if you put yourself under the law and circumcision and keep the feast, I fear for you, because you cannot live by grace if you put yourself under the law. That's the theme of all of Paul's teaching in 13 epistles. So now let's look also at this similar story in Luke chapter 7. Because it was very rare for Gentiles to come to Jesus. But some, very few, did. And it's recorded for us here by Luke, the historian. Luke chapter 7. You know, in verse 7, it's talking about a Gentile, a centurion, a Roman soldier, an officer. In verse 7, he says, I did not think myself worthy to come to you. But let's back up to verse 2. A certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. Now they were pleading with him, with Jesus. So when Jesus heard that there was a man who was ill, did he immediately go to heal the man? Immediately? No. How do we know that he didn't immediately go to heal? As he did to so many. He healed the masses. So he didn't play a game with each one, like I've seen with televangelists. One, Rod Parsley, you may have heard of him, a director of Bob Enyart Live, brought a videotape of Rod Parsley offering a healing to a woman in his church. And he said, come up, I have your healing for you in my hand. And she came up, and he said, here it is in my hand. And she went to grab it, and he pulled his hand away. And then he backed up, and he offered it, and she went to grab it, and he backed up. And he started running all over the stage, and she was running. And so he stopped, he stumbled, and she got it. And he said, oh, you only got part of it. And he kept running around like a mockery, making fun of God and of God's ministry through God's people. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't play games with the thousands who were healed. They were healed. But he did not go to heal this person. That's why the elders of the Jews who came to him were pleading with him. You plead with someone when they're resisting you. If you go and say to somebody, can you give me a ride? My car broke down. I need to get to work. And they say, sure. Do you plead with them? No, they said, sure. You plead with someone when they're resisting your request. And look at verse 4. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly. You don't beg someone who says, yeah, I'll help. You beg someone who doesn't want to help. They begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was worthy. Listen to why. It's in quotes. This guy we're asking you to help, Lord, he's worthy. Now he's a centurion. And Jesus, it's not in the text, but he's a centurion? He's a Roman soldier, an officer, a Gentile? I was not sent except to Israel. I wasn't sent to the Gentiles. I'm not going to the Romans. But they pleaded with Jesus, and they begged him earnestly, saying that this one Gentile is worthy because he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. You see that? Do you see why Jesus made this exception? There were countless Gentiles who were in need of healings of all sorts. But Jesus wasn't going to the Gentiles. He didn't heal the Gentiles en masse, but he healed the Jews to establish to the Jews that he was sent of his Father. So verse 6, Jesus went with them. So Jesus was sent only to Israel, and he was resisting the Gentiles who asked him to help. But these couple of cases were so extraordinary, and including them in the Bible helped to teach and make the point. Healing those two Gentiles didn't make the point that Jesus was going to the Gentiles. It made the opposite point. We read about Jesus healing those two Gentiles because it makes the point that he was not going to the Gentiles. These two were exceptions. They were exceptions because he was only sent to the Jews. And a Gentile who knew that he was the son of Abraham, the son of David, that he was the Messiah, he was the Lord, and who would trust even the crumbs that fell from the master's table. The Gentile who so loved Israel and the descendants of Abraham that he would build them a synagogue out of his own money. Those were the exceptions to the rule that Christ was sent only to Israel. That is why when we read through the Gospels, there are so many things that don't apply to us. They don't make sense. They don't work. We try it, doesn't work. where two of you are agreed in anything concerning my Father in heaven, he will do it for you, whatever that thing is, that good thing that you pray for. So Christians read that and they pray and it doesn't happen. And they think, whoa, what's wrong with the Bible? It's not true. God made promises to Israel that are not to the body of Christ. And so Jesus said, sell everything that you have and give to the poor. Yeah, but what if somebody's a liar? Just don't worry about it. If somebody asks you, give. Yeah, but what if you can't? Don't worry, just give it to them. Now, what Christian believes that? If you do, I have a question for you. So, the rules that Jesus was giving to Israel to live in those extraordinary times were different from the rules that he gave through Paul for the body of Christ to live by for the next 2,000 years. So just a couple other verses, we won't turn to them. But in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sent out the apostles, and he said, Matthew 10, verse 5, do not go to the Gentiles, but go to the house of Israel. That's pretty specific. That is why in the book of Acts, we read that to Israel first, God sent his son. Acts 35, Acts 3, verses 25 and 26. We read all through the Old Testament, like Isaiah 59, 20, that the Messiah will come to Zion in Jacob, in Israel. And so the Apostle Paul in Romans said the gospel went to the Jews first. Then it came to the Gentiles later. Matthew 1:21, Jesus will save his people from their sins. Matthew 2:6, the Messiah will shepherd his people Israel. This will be the last verse we'll turn to. John 4, verse 22. A woman of Samaria had come to the well to draw water. And Jesus spoke with her. And the Samaritans, they were not Jews. They were sort of half Jews, sort of. In John chapter 4, verse 22, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, as an example of all Samaritans, you Samaritans, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. Was salvation of the Romans? Of the Greeks? Of the Egyptians? Of the Sumerians? No. Salvation was of the Jews. That's why God's not a racist. Why did God have Jesus go only to Israel? Because salvation was of the Jews. And God's word came through the Jews. So the Messiah would come through the Jews. So if the Jews would receive their Messiah, God would have a nation of evangelists to go out to the whole world to preach the gospel. That was the plan. That was plan A. But what happened? Well, that all happened except the nation did not believe in their Messiah who was raised from the dead. After the Messiah was resurrected, the nation of Israel rejected their resurrected Messiah. And it was then that God cut off Israel, as we read about in Romans 11. And we could see happen in the book of Acts, in chapter 9, that God turned from Israel to the Gentiles, from the kingdom to the body, from circumcision and the law to grace. And when we understand that overview of the whole Bible, then we can figure out, what does God want us to do today? Because if we're under the Sabbath, if we're to live by the Sabbath law, we can't even go that far. We shouldn't start up our cars. That's a fire in the engine. There's a fire. God said, don't even kindle a fire on the Sabbath. If you do, you're cursed. You're violating my law. So do we abide by all those, and there are hundreds of laws that have nothing to do with the sacrificial system of blood sacrifices, just part of the Mosaic law. Do we abide by all those laws? No, we don't. because we are not under circumcision and the law, we are under grace. So it turns out that the 12 apostles, they went to Israel. Peter, James, and John in Galatians 2:9, they said, Paul, you go to the Gentiles, we will go to the circumcision, to Israel. And so when Peter, James, and John wrote their epistles, do you know who they wrote to? Does anybody remember? If you do, feel free to shout it out. James, the Apostle James, who did he address his epistle, James? Who did he write to? Anyone? The 12 tribes. James 1:1. James to the 12 tribes. Peter, who did Peter write his epistles to? The diaspora. The diaspora, the dispersion, the word, you can look it up in Webster's, look it up in any dictionary, means the Jews scattered abroad. Peter wrote to the Jews. John, who did John write? 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John to. Who did he write to? Well, in 3rd John, he says, you will do well if you take nothing from the Gentiles. Don't take anything from the Gentiles. So who's he writing to? The Gentiles? No, he's writing to the Jews. So it turns out that it was after the resurrection that God cut off Israel, not forever. He loves them. And he said, today, a Jew and a Gentile are equal. If they trust in the Messiah, they are saved in the body of Christ. They're equal, Jew and Gentile. After he's fulfilled his purpose with the body of Christ, he will return to Israel so that the nation of Israel will again be the focus of God's work on earth. That's in Romans 11. So based on that understanding of God's word, the elders of Denver Bible Church are not worried about saying we have the freedom and the liberty in Christ to not have a normal service on Sunday morning, but to do something partly to show our own kids that Christianity is not just a set of rules and rituals and ceremonies, but Christianity is a relationship with God that we enjoy and live in the world and we bring to unbelievers.
Hey, this is Bob Enyart. If you would like to hear more, you could go to our store online. Go to kgov.com, click on the store, and then you could get our Bible studies, or go to the subscriptions where you could subscribe to our sermons and our Bible studies. You could get really fun verse-by-verse studies or topical Bible studies. I think you'll love it.
Hi, folks. Doug McBurney here. Keeping Bob Enyart Live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then. And now is that time, and he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Bob's presence on the mighty 50,000-watt KLT in Denver gives him the ability to promote godly ideas on the terrestrial airwaves. I'm asking you to call right now or go online to purchase any or all of Bob's eye-opening Christian resources available in written, audio, or video formats. Call 1-800-8-ENYART right now or go to kgov.com and come alongside Bob's vital ministry and keep Bob broadcasting for another year. That's 1-800-8-ENYART or go to kgov.com, kgov.com right now to give Bob the essential support that only you can offer.